So the epistle for the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Philippians chapter 3 and chapter 4. Brethren, be followers of me and observe them who walk so as you have our model. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. But our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will reform the body of our lowness, made like to the body of his glory, according to the operation, whereby also he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my dearly beloved brethren, and most dear, my joy and my crown, so stand steadfast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beg of Evodia and I beseech Syntyche to be of one mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, my sincere companion, help those women who have labored with me in the gospel with Clements and the rest of my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 9. At that time, as Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, behold, a certain ruler came up and adored him, saying, Lord, my daughter is even now dead, but come, lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus, rising up, followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who was troubled with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I shall touch only his garment, I shall be healed. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, be of good heart, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus was come into the house of the ruler and saw the minstrels and the multitude making a rout, he said, give place, for the girl is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when the multitude was put forth, he went in and took her by the hand. And the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that country. Please be seated. The day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's Mass, there are actually many references to death, especially in this month that is dedicated to the poor souls. I think that it is good, it's beneficial for us just to consider always our last end. As I say, this month lends itself toward that as we go and pray for the poor souls, those of you that were able to attend at least maybe one of the Masses on All Souls Day, the day that is especially remembered for these poor souls that have passed on. Souls that need our prayers, they can no longer merit anything for their soul. And how important that is for us to consider and to think about. We, every day, we have a chance to at least merit for our soul. We can change the state of our soul, say if we find ourselves without the grace of God. Well, we can come to confession, we can do something about that, we can change that for our lives before it affects us for all eternity. And so we can gain graces through our prayers, Masses being offered for us, our attending of Masses, all the receiving of the sacraments, all of those things can change our life. They can help us from the state that we're in, as I say, if we so happen, find ourselves without the grace of God. But for the souls that have passed on, it is always a reminder to us that they are no longer wayfarers, they are no pilgrims in this life, that their time of pilgrimage is over. And so at that point, they are for their eternity. And so it's something good for us to consider. As I say in the Mass today, we have references to that. We have in the epistle talking about that our conversation must be on the things of heaven, not in the slowness of this life, that our Lord would reform them the body. And St. Paul even tells us that we must stay steadfast in the Lord as we eagerly await his coming. And so the reminders to us of the end of the world, the end times, especially now as we start drawing to a close of the liturgical year. A few more Sundays, and it will end the liturgical year for us. We will begin a new year. at least liturgically speaking. Then the gospel account, we have the death of the daughter of the ruler. For him, he sees very clearly that our Lord would be able to bring her back from the dead. So his faith is what helps then his daughter come back to life when our Lord said she's just sleeping. You can see that the people laughed into scorn for that. But yes, there's also that reference to death. And then the gradual in the offertory, we have the De Profundis. This famous psalm that we have at the Requiem Masses. Out of the depths I have cried to thee. Signifying a soul crying to God. Crying to Almighty God. And so it's good for us to consider then our particular judgment. The judgment that all of us will have to undergo. There is the general judgment at the end of the world. But there is also the particular judgment that happens immediately when then the soul departs from the body. I mean, that's when we say that death occurs. That the soul separates itself from the body. And you will see many of the spiritual authors will say that at that moment, at that place, wherever it occurs, this is where a soul is judged. And it would make sense that at that time, at that moment, that we would have the judgment of our soul based on the merits or, God forbid, the demerits that we've occurred during our lives. And so we know for the most part, there are the three choices for most souls. Obviously heaven, then purgatory, or then hell. And so that is why when we commemorate the poor souls, we're praying for those souls that are especially in purgatory, that are suffering. They are the means of our prayers and our sacrifice and why we visit the cemeteries, to pray for those souls. And that is why then you have the names of your family and friends listed at the altar, that those souls are specifically mentioned in the masses that are offered. And so they get that special remembrance. And that's why it's so important then to try to put their names up there, or then what we did last night for the children to have the soul bags. To where they have for the whole month, they are praying for two souls. And it's a good practice for our children to have. That they understand the need for praying for souls. And that is why we do that. And so the children who came last night, some of the adults even, we had some extra bags, they were able to gain these soul bags to pray for the souls there. To remember these souls throughout the entire month. And so that is why we pray for these souls, because yes, they could be possibly in purgatory. They are suffering. They are suffering and they need our intercession. Because as I say, they can no longer merit for their own soul. So at the point of death, they were completely stopped in terms of gaining any merit. They are stuck in the state of where they were. And so that's why it's important for us to think about the particular judgment as when it comes. At the moment of death, we are judged. So we can very easily say that when a soul dies, they are already judged. And yes, they are judged accordingly to their life. I mean, you see, St. Paul even references the fact of some names that are listed in the Book of Life. And so everything is recorded by Almighty God. God knows all things. So God knows exactly the state of our soul when we pass away. That is why even though we speak by metaphor that it is a trial, and we even talk about how maybe some of the saints, the Blessed Virgin Mary, will try to persuade, if you want to say, because of maybe devotion that we had to them or the praying of the rosary, wearing of the brown scapular, that would try to help our cause. But God knows all things. So it's interesting to see how St. Thomas Aquinas, how he presents it. He presents it by metaphor as a trial. But the tribunal seat of our Lord Jesus Christ is established at the moment, at the place of where we die. But it's interesting to see how he goes through and he talks about that. That he'll say the examination of the case, so the examination of our soul, is instantaneous. It happens immediately. It happens immediately because, as I say, the book of life is exposed for our soul. And so since God knows all things, the soul is enlightened according to if they lived their life pleasing to God or if they did not. And so they know very well what the sentence will come. A good sentence, or God forbid, a bad sentence. And so the pronouncement, again, is instantaneous. And St. Thomas talks about how then the soul sees with the eyes of the soul. They see the judgment of God. That is why you'll have some spiritual authors, I think I mentioned to it to you before, that some of the spiritual authors for the souls that are sentenced to purgatory, they hurl themselves down to purgatory. Because they realize to what state they are. They realize they are not worthy to be before the eyes of God. And so they send themselves down to purgatory. I mean, it's something for us to think about because they realize at that point, I'm not worthy before the judgment seat of God. I have to purge myself. I have to be clean before I come. And so, yes, instantaneously, we know the pronouncement of that. I would say we probably should know anyway. We should have a decent idea of our soul. If not, that is why we pray for to be enlightened to our soul. And I think most souls will know if they're away from the grace of God. It is that pain of conscience that they have, because they know that they are away from God's grace. And so, yes, both of these things, the examination, the pronouncement, we can say that they are instantaneous. And then the execution will be immediately following. As the soul understands, well, then the execution of the sentence comes. And so that is why then when we think about this time, yes, we can imagine a trial that goes on. We can try to think about the good things that we've done in our lives. But we also have to realize then the things that we have done wrong. But it's interesting to see how then also through good confessions, these things are also wiped out. Again, the importance of good confessions, preparing our soul well, understanding that we know not the day nor the hour when God will call us, and to be prepared. And it was something that, after being ordained, going out to the Carmelite convent in Spokane, Washington, to say a first mass, that given a little card of saying, priest, treat this, obviously, as your first mass, your last mass, or your only mass. And to think about that, I mean, it's always struck me, I still have the card that they gave to me. But to think about, as a priest, yes, he will say maybe his mass. And hopefully that his mass will be like his first one. Or then realizing it could be his last one. And so that draws us to the understanding of how we should treat these things. Treating the mass, the priest praying the mass. Offering that mass. But then for souls to understand that this could be our last day. Because we don't realize when God will call us. We don't understand that. So therefore we have to try to be prepared for the coming of our Lord. And that is why the particular judgment, it is this understanding that it happens immediately for us. And obviously with a particular judgment, that is where the soul will go. Obviously they go to purgatory. It is a time period before that they get to heaven. So that's the only exception to a change for the soul. But if our pronouncement is hell, it will be hell for all eternity. We can only maybe go a further down because that is what the general judgment is for. Because we are part of society, we affect society. But in the same way, we can also look at it in terms of the good things that we've done, the influences that we've had on people. We can maybe gain a higher place in heaven after the general judgment. But there's only kind of that shifting downward or upward, depending. But that is why what is pronounced at the particular judgment does not change for the general judgment. And so that is why we must consider the state of our soul. As we walk out to the cemetery, as we drive up to it and walk to the graves, I mean, to consider that reality of how these souls were here one day and then God called them. And so it's a need for us to think about these things. It is not just being morbid. I mean, to consider that God could call us at any moment and therefore we must be in the state of grace, that is a part of our Catholic life. It is something that we must think about. As I say, this month lends itself toward that. And so, yes, at death, the time of merit is terminated. And so for us, what can we do? How can we try to prepare for a moment we have no idea when it comes? Yes, to try to live each moment of understanding that God could call us at any time. Trying to always stay in the state of grace. If we were to fall from that, to try to rectify that as soon as we can. And so, also to try to accept the crosses, the trials that we have in this life. St. Augustine said it's much better to suffer now than after our life. And how true that is. Meaning for us that we must suffer our purgatory now than to have to suffer it later on. To be vigilant, to do penance now. That is why when we think about taking on small penances, not just during the time periods that ask for it, but different things that we can try to do each day, once a week, offering some things up to God. Small things, they don't have to be huge, but just being able to try to offer these small things of doing penances for our past sins. Trying to realize that we are going to have to make up for that at some point in our life, whether it's after this life, and that is what purgatory is for. Because remembering from just the idea of going to confession, yes, our sins are forgiven. But there can be still some punishment that is due to those sins. That is why souls spend time in purgatory, to purge away the punishment that is due to them. And that is why it's such a great grace to pray for not only the gift of final perseverance, but then to have a prepared death. Those souls that have that, that receive that, what a grace that is, of receiving extreme unction, the apostolic blessing, the Holy Viaticum, all of these different things that they receive at the end of their life. And we, at least we can say that they go in prepared toward meeting their judge. And so that's why we must pray for that. To pray to have a prepared death. But that is part of the vigilance of our lives. St. Augustine has said, as we live our lives, so will we die. If you didn't see the importance of keeping your soul in the state of grace, at the end of your life, it might not be a prepared death then. But if you spent your life trying to stay in the state of grace, or if you were to lose that, you immediately go to confession to make up for that. Well, God sees the effort that you have made through your life, and so therefore, at the end of your life, according to His graces, He can prepare your soul for being judged. And so just having that understanding that we must be vigilant now to ask ourselves the question, would we be ready if God called us right now? Would we be prepared? It's something to think about. Then obviously to always try to live in the state of grace. St. Paul says, I live not I, but Christ liveth in me. And so therefore let us pray. Pray to the poor souls, pray for the poor souls, because once they get to heaven, they can intercede for us. But they will remember who prayed for them, who visited the cemeteries, who offered masses for them. They will remember these things by the grace of God. And so the devotion that we have to the poor souls will not be lost. And so let us pray to the poor souls now. Prepare ourselves. Think about the state of our soul. To ask ourselves the simple question, if God called me right now, where would I go? Heaven, purgatory, hell? And then what do we need to do about that? And obviously, let us pray and invoke the Blessed Virgin Mary. Let us pray to Our Lady that she attains for us the grace of a prepared and good death, because it is a grace from God. But as we live our life, so will we die. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.